Good morning, everyone. It's good to see familiar faces again this morning. And we are happy to have some visitors with us, among us this morning. So make sure we get to visit with our with those that are visiting with us. This morning, our minister's not here. He's been recuperating from his procedure or surgery that he had. So I'm teaching the class this morning and hope that Brother Obed gets to feeling better. The lesson this morning is going to be taken out of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And remember, this is a class, so if there's any questions or any comments, please raise your hand and we'll be glad to to let you speak. Let's open our class with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love and everything that you give us. Be with us, Father, as we begin our class this morning, Father, that you open our minds, our hearts to your word, Father, that we may take it, Father, and use it in our daily lives, that we put you first in our lives, Father. We ask you to bless those that are not here, those that are sick, those that are home, Father, be with them, bless them, and comfort them as well. We thank you once again for bringing us here so that our worship service, Father, to you may be in spirit and in truth, Father. We thank you and we ask you to forgive us of our sins that we commit in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 15. We'll read the, I'd like for us to read the whole chapter. I'd like to focus on the prodigal son. And I'm sure that everyone in here has heard the parable of the prodigal son. But in chapter 15, Jesus describes, he gives us three examples in this chapter. And this is why I'd like to read the whole chapter, and then we'll go back and talk about the prodigal son. Let's begin with chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he finds it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seeks diligently till she finds it. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise I say unto thee, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over the sinners that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave that no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go there. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet though thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So we see here Jesus using three parables to speak to these people. And it says in going back to chapter 15 and verse 1, he says that he drew near and he was talking to publicans and sinners. Verse 2 says that the Pharisees and the scribes were murmuring. What were they murmuring about Jesus? They were looking at Jesus and they were saying, what kind of man is he? You know, he's talking and he's gathered with the sinners, with the publicans. This is what they saw, the Pharisees and the scribes. This is what they were looking at, is that Jesus was having contact with the sinners. So keep that in mind. And this is why Jesus uses these three parables. Now, my first question this morning is, he spoke of three parables. What do these three parables have in common? What do these three parables have in common? The 99 sheep or the 100 sheep, one is lost, but yet he leaves the 99 and he goes for the one. The lady that has 10 pieces of silver, she loses one. She looks all over the house till she finds that one. The father and his two sons, the one that is lost is found. So what do these three parables have in common? One, okay.
What is lost is valuable.
Okay, what is lost is valuable. There we go. And this is the answer that I was looking for. Someone over here said, lost and found. We see that all these three parables have in common that was lost. After they have found it, there is joy, because that what was lost has been found. And that's the thing that these three have in common. And so Jesus, and I'm sure that the Pharisees and scribes are all also listening, even though they're murmuring about Jesus, as Jesus speaks to the publicans and the sinners, you know, they're thinking, well, why is he associating himself with these sinners? But yet Jesus is teaching us that what is lost, he came to what? To find. And so, we see the first parable. If we go to the first parable, it says here that a man had 100 sheep. And he loses one sheep. But yet what? He leaves the 99. How can a man leave, or a shepherd leave his 99 sheep and search for that one? What lesson can we learn from this? Leaving the 99 and searching for that one lost sheep.
They're all important.
They're all important to God. Or to the shepherd. But the 99, and we'll see this later on in the parables, that the 99 are not lost. It's that one sheep that is lost. And it's that one sheep that needs attention. And so he's willing to leave the 99 because they are not lost, but they're gathered to find that which was what? Lost. Let's go to the second parable. let's kind of emphasize on verse. Let's talk a little bit about verse 7, because each parable also speaks about this. Verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so there is joy in heaven when that one, that which was lost, has been found. And we see how the shepherd goes out and calls his friends and has a feast, because he is glad, he is happy that he's found the lost sheep. How can we use this verse in our times? How does this verse help us? And I say, and I ask this question because I believe, and this is just me personally saying this, that I believe that we fall between one of these. And something else that I wanted to say was, I'd like for us to look at the two sons, the one son that lost everything, but yet came to his senses, and the son that never left. We see two different sons, two different, what's the word I'm looking for? Characteristics, or two different, even though they're both sons, but they both have their own personalities. But yet the father was able to what? He was able to answer both correctly, to help each one in their situation. And this is what I'd like for us to see this morning, is how put ourselves in the, and this is why I said that we fall in one of these categories, where either that parable son, the prodigal son, I'm sorry. Later we become that father that has to settle between our children. And sometimes we're that son that has everything, but yet we don't see it. And this is my lesson this morning. This is what I'd like for us to focus. Sometimes I know that the parable, you know, we focus on that lost son, and he's been found. But we see, if we read the whole parable, the father also is able to treat righteously both sons. And I say this, that we fall within one of these three categories, because if we've grown up with brothers and sisters, we understand this parable. Maybe we are the parents now of children. And we need to, we say that we love our children equally. And I'm sure that that's true. And I feel that way. We love them the same. But yet we need to learn to treat each one what? Individually. Because each one has their own character. And this is what I see about this father, is that he sees the prodigal son, and we see that the prodigal son needs what? Needs a little bit more attention than the other son. Why? Because the other son isn't lost. He's always been there. He's been obedient to his father. But yet we see the son that's always been there, how he feels about all this. And so this is, I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is what I'd like for us to see. And this is why I say that sometimes we fall into one of these, whether we're the son, the sons, or the father. And I'll just say this as far as the sons, because, you know, growing up with brothers and sisters, you know, my sister always got the bike and I always got the football or the basketball. So to me, that wasn't fair. You know, I should have been the one getting the bike. But, you know, and that's how the younger son, the older son feels, you know, like, hey, I've always been here. You know, why don't I get treated the same? So. My next question is, what does prodigal mean? Because it's the parable of the prodigal son. Chapter 15, verse 13. Would somebody read that for us? And this will give us the answer of that question. What does prodigal mean? The last part of that verse, that gives us a definition of the prodigal son. Could you read that last part of verse 14 again, or 13?
And there wasting his substance with riotous
living. That's the definition of prodigal. Let's go back to chapter 15 and verse 8. And this is the parable of the woman having 10 pieces of silver. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweeps the whole house and seeks diligently till she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for what I have found, the pieces which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And this is another thing that these three parables have in common. What has been lost has been found, and there is rejoicing when it is found. And so this lady, he talks about this lady losing one piece of silver. And she sweeps the whole house until she finds it. And she rejoices and she calls her friends, because she has found that which was lost. Before we go into the parable of the prodigal son, turn over to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Pages over. And I think that this is what we also have to understand about these parables of that which was lost has been found. Luke chapter 19.
Let's begin with verse 7. Luke chapter 19, verse 7. And it says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." Again, they're talking about Jesus and how he's associating himself with sinners, according to them, to the scribes and the Pharisees. And they're murmuring against him. And this is why this is said. They're murmuring, saying that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. And so Jesus is speaking to Zacchaeus. Stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold," Zacchaeus is telling Jesus, he says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold." So Zacchaeus is telling Jesus here, if I have mistreated anyone, you know, I'll give them fourfold. I'll give them back what I have taken from them and give them four times. Give them back what didn't belong to me. And he says, and I have given to the poor the half of my goods. And I restored him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, and this is the verse that I'd like for us to, verse 10, for us to focus on. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham," speaking about Zacchaeus. He also is a son of Abraham. And verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to do what? And to save that which was lost." This is why I say that we fall between one of these characters, because we were lost at one time. But Jesus says here that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And perhaps we've already been saved, but yet we've strayed. And we've squandered, because that's another word that's used as far as the prodigal son, is squandering everything, that all your inheritance, using it unwisely, spending it unwisely. But yet, we see that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so this is why, again, once I say, you know, perhaps we were lost. Jesus saved us. Perhaps we've already been saved, but yet we've gone back to the unrighteous way of living. And this is why also what Jesus emphasizes is that there is joy in heaven when that which was lost has been found. How many of us, and I'm speaking to those that are fathers and mothers, and I'm sure that we all go through this, we have disobedient children. We have obedient children and we have disobedient children. How much do we wish that they would come to their senses? If these children would come to their senses, would we shy them away? What would we do?
Rejoice.
Because that which was lost is what is now what? Is now found. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep your finger on Luke chapter 15, because we'll be coming back to Luke chapter 15. First Peter chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 8. Let's begin with verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. We'll read 7 through 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity covers the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And let's just go up just a little bit more so that we can understand those verses. Chapter 4, verses 1. This is why Peter says these words. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, we should arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So Peter is telling us, he says, for as much as Christ has suffered for us, we need to have that same mentality. And this is why he says in verses that we read that love or charity, that have a fervent charity among yourselves, for the charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And we understand that charity means what? Means love, compassion. And so what Peter is telling us here, and we see that he's telling us to have it, to have this love fervently. So it's not just a regular, just the least love that you can have for your neighbor, but have it what? Have it fervently. Because he says that love shall cover the multitude of sins. What does that verse have to do with the parable of the prodigal son? Forgiveness. Imagine if we had that love that Jesus has for us. The compassion that we have for those that sin against us. This is why Peter is saying that love covers the multitude of sins. So if we have an ounce of love, God's love in us, we will be able to overcome our neighbor's sin or those that are sinning against us. Because if Jesus has done it for us, then this is why Peter says we need to have that same mentality that Jesus has, the compassion that he has for us. And the reason I wanted to read that verse is because we see the Father having that compassion, going back to the prodigal son. The Father having that same compassion with his son. That which was lost is now found. What does the Father do after the son has squandered everything that he has? And the son finally realizes what he has done. He comes to his senses after everything that he's gone through. And something else that I'd like also to kind of talk about is that the son, what was the son doing after he had squandered everything that that he had? He was what? Eating with the pigs. He was feeding the pigs, or the swine is the word that is used here. But yet, you know, he was so hungry that he even ate what was being fed to the swine. Now, just think about this. To the Jews and swine, what's the deal there between a Jewish person and swine? Unclean. They're unclean. But yet Jesus uses this, and he's telling them this prodigal son went as far as feeding them and also eating their food. And so he's saying, you know, that he's down at the bottom of the barrel, this son. And understood this saying, because again, because the Jews did not eat swine. And until this time, you know, a lot of Jewish people do not eat swine. They won't eat a pork chop because they associate it with being unclean, being dirty. But yet Jesus uses this in his parable to teach them. Now this takes us to to Peter in Acts chapter 10. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Verses 11 through 15. What is happening with Peter here? Jesus has sent him to whom?
Gentiles.
To the Gentiles? To Cornelius. He goes into a trance. And he sees in a vision, what does he see in this vision? A blanket coming down with uncommon things. And the voice is telling Peter, kill and eat. What does he respond to this voice? He says, nothing, I have never eaten anything that is uncommon, because he was a Jew. He says, I have never eaten anything that is uncommon. But he's looking at this vision, and everything in this vision is uncommon to Peter. But what is God trying to teach Peter here? What does the voice tell Peter afterwards? Anything that I have cleansed, you do not call it uncommon or dirty. Let's read those verses. Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. And saw heaven open and certain vessels descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came to a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. And so what Peter was being taught is what? And the whole story of what Peter's trying to learn is that not only the Jews had a part of the salvation in Jesus Christ, but the Gentiles also. And Peter couldn't see this. This is why this happens to Peter. Because he's being sent to Cornelius. Cornelius is what? He's a Gentile. But going back to what the verse that we read earlier, that Jesus came to what? To seek and save the lost. Peter hadn't seen this yet. He couldn't understand. He couldn't grasp it yet. Let's go back to Luke chapter 15, because we'll have to wrap it up here in 5 minutes. And so we see that this son has finally come to his senses after suffering and going through everything that he went through. But we see that he's come to his senses, and when he finally decides to go back home, does the father wait for him to get home? Says that he sees him afar off. And he runs to him. And so we see here how the father feels that after what he has seen, you know, is he going to treat And also the son also is willing to be what? To be a servant to his father. After everything that he's done. And how he has squandered everything. He says, man, just let me be a servant. Because even his father's servants lived a better life than he did when he was lost. But yet the father doesn't treat him as a servant. We see that the father treats him as what? As a son. And so, what I wanted for us again to see this morning is the son and how he reacts after everything that he's done. He comes to his senses. And the father's willing to accept him. But yet we also see the other son. What are his reactions? He's out in the fields. He's coming back and he hears music and he hears dancing and commotion going on. What does he say? Well, he tells one of the servants, hey, what's going on? He says, well, your brother, the one that was lost, is back. What are his feelings? He's hurt. Why? Because he feels like he's been the obedient one. He says, I've always been here. I've always been obedient to you. But yet you don't even give me a kid. And that's the word it uses here. You don't even give me, you know, a kid, you know, to have a feast with my friends. Because I've always been obedient. And this is why I also said that, you know, we fall into one of these categories because sometimes we feel like that son. We don't see the whole picture. We just see that son that was disobedient and the father accepting him back. But we see the answer that the father gives both children. He gives them both the correct answer. He accepts the lost. And what does he tell the son that has always been with him? He says, everything that I have is yours. You know, you've never lost it. It's yours. But yet sometimes we feel that way when we see those that have been lost and come back, and we sometimes think and say, well, why would God accept him? You know, I've always been here. You know, why am I being treated this way? But yet the Father is able to answer both. He is able to treat both sons righteously. And so, we've got 5 minutes, and to end our class, just think about this. We fall into one of these categories, but we might be the father, you know, waiting for that lost child to come back. We might be that lost child, you know, that still doesn't, you know, we want to continue in the world. Or we might be that obedient child. You know, but remember this. If we've been disobedient and we repent, God will take us back. If we are obedient, remember what? That we have all the blessings that God has to offer. Let's turn over to for our closing, got Ephesians chapter 1. Just to remind us of what Scripture tells us about the spiritual blessings, the blessings that we have when we are obedient, children to God. These are the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, in God through His Son Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish or blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. So we see here that we have all these blessings in God through his son Jesus Christ, as we continue to be obedient children to God. A verse, we won't turn there, that also comes to mind, and I have these written down. If you'd like to read, and it's a common chapter, John chapter 3, verse 16. It talks about that God loved the world, that he was willing to give his only begotten son. The other one that I had was, and this one you'd need a little bit more time to study on, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you study the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I mention this verse because within a congregation, there is someone that has married his father's wife. And Paul is saying, what are you doing as a congregation? You know, you guys know this and are accepting it. And he says words there that he says that you should deliver such a one unto Satan. But we need to study this closely, because what I'm getting at is this. Is when Paul, or the Apostle Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about, you know, talks about Satan, but what he says, what he's really saying there is that you want the soul to be saved. You do these things so that this person may come to his senses and repent. This is what Paul, and this is a good example in 1 Corinthians, like we said, to study. Because we see that, you know, the reason, and this is the word, is part of when we do church discipline. It's not to destroy a person, but to hopefully win that person back to God, to Christ. And like we've read, that there is rejoicing in heaven when that person repents. This is the time that we have allowed. That is the end of our lesson for this morning. Thank you.